T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So he's back with more.
The Drive on KFH.
All right, Jeff with the music this week. Trying to
class
be a little cool, huh? Chairman of the board week.
Yeah.
Learning the blues from the one and only Frank Sinatra.
Does he ever sing? There he is.
Yeah, he's already. Don't worry about that. I got that covered.
Oh, he sounds good.
Well, of course he sounds good.
Like a baby, yeah.
Oh God,
snap my fingers with my martini.
That's like Frank Sinatra singing and a pack of wild dogs chasing him.
I don't think so.
Mike Kennedy joins us. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
Now, Mike can croon a little bit. What'd you think of Jeff singing there?
Needs a little work. That encourages a career on the drums.
There you go.
Be nice, Mike.
He can be on the drums. Normally, we'd talk to you about the Shockers, and we will in a moment. You've got the Greg Marshall show coming up a little bit later this evening. But I know in 1980, when we were just young guys getting it going in the industry, you were the voice of the Wichita Arrows. What radio station were you on at that time?
You know, I don't even remember anymore, but I think it might have been KFH. I know I did them in 4 seasons, kind of all spread out, and I know at least part of the time it was on KFH, so I think that might have been it.
I kind of had the same thing. I covered the Arrows for a couple, 3 seasons, but not consecutively, I don't believe. But I had them that year in 1980 when Lee Smith was a guy. What are your recollections of Lee?
Well, first of all, he was really imposing physically. He was a big guy. Not personally. He was very easygoing, kind of actually soft-spoken, nice guy. But on the mound, he just looked huge and really threw hard and was a very imposing figure. And that was, really early in his career, even though he was at AAA. I looked it up after you contacted me about talking about him. He was just 22 years old that summer. And actually, that was the first year that the Cubs organization started using him in a closer role. So that was all kind of new that season.
Yeah, what was that that like? It was about 10 or 11 years since the save had been introduced. Closers weren't necessarily as in vogue or as in as they are in this era of baseball. So what was, your recollection of just him in that role and what the save was at that time?
Well, they had actually started. My first year with the Arrows was 76, and at the beginning of that season, they had Bruce Sutter, who just kind of took the world by storm the first month or so of the season and got called up to the Cubs. They had a guy named Jerry Pirtle, who was kind of the closer in 77, a guy that had been in the Yankees organization that the Cubs had picked up and had a couple of pretty good years in AAA, and then Oscar Zamora, who had been in the major leagues some. So every year that I was around them, they had a closer, kind of. And in Lee's case, there were a couple of other guys. There were 3 left-handers that all had like 4 or 5 saves that year. So it was still a little bit situational. He wasn't the every situation guy, but he still made 50 appearances that year and then got called up in August to the Cubs. So he was in there a lot when the game was on the line. And I don't remember if the rules were much different then. I know they probably were a little bit. I think it was probably a little harder to get a save in terms of the requirements back then than it is now.
Talking with Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Shockers, and at one time the voice of the Wichita Arrows as well. I know Lee Smith was obviously a very highly thought-of prospect from the time he was taken in the second round by the Cubs. Tried him as a starter, as you mentioned. He really struggled to find the plate. At 1978 in Double A at Midland, he pitched 155 innings, gave up 161 hits, and 128 walks. And that's almost unfathomable. But it's something that he improved on throughout his career. And by the middle of his big league career, he wasn't walking guys nearly as often, obviously.
Yeah, I looked up his numbers for that 1980 season. He pitched 90 innings in Wichita, only gave up 70 hits, struck out 63, but walked 56. So it was almost a 1-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, and that would be, what, like five and a half per nine innings. So that was still an issue with him at that time. But like you said, that was something that just continued to get better as he went through his career. I think he was, first of all, I think he was a very hard worker. I think he was a guy who, you know, gave some attention to those things that he needed to work on and kept getting better at them.
What do you remember Lee Smith most as a big leaguer? I would imagine it's probably the Cubs for you, since that's the minor league team you covered him with, and he spent a while there. For me, it's the Cardinals, just because I was a Cardinals fan then. So is it Cubs for you, Mike?
I think so, although, yeah, I mean, it always seemed a little more natural for him to be a Cub, although he certainly had some really good years with the Cardinals. You know, Bruce Sutter also went up with the Cubs and, of course, went to the Cardinals, but it seemed like he was, even as good as he was with the Cubs, even better with the Cardinals, and so I tend to think of him with both or more with the Cardinals. But in Lee's case, yeah, it just stands out more to me for the Cubs part of his career.
And that particular Arrows team was not that memorable, 61-74. Lee Smith certainly had the best career of anybody who played for that team. Any other players on that team who stand out to you?
Well, the guys that that I kind of hung out with the most were Dan Roan, a little second baseman, and Steve Macko, who was the shortstop. He got called up in midseason and sadly died of cancer just a couple of years after that, after he had gotten to the big leagues. Really, really good guy. And the first baseman on that team was Jim Tracy, who hit like 320 with 16 home runs and had a decent big league career, but ended up being a major league manager.
I really like Jim Dodgers. Tracy.
But, yeah.
Do you remember a particular night at the Bombay Bicycle Club with with Dan Roan and Steve Macko?
No, I don't think so.
That's a good answer, Mike.
And, you know, another guy that was I really remember from that team was Carlos Lescano, whose older brother, Sixto, had been was a successful major league outfielder. And Carlos could go get it like very few people I've ever seen. Tremendous defensive center fielder with a strong arm. And he had some power, but he struck out a lot. And he never did really have much of a big league career because he never could get over that. But he was one of those guys that you watch play and went, wow, what an athlete.
Mike, what's your stance on relievers in the Hall of Fame? There have been some really, really good ones. Rivera probably belongs in, but most of them are failed starters, Lee Smith included. Hoffman was, Rivera was. Most of these guys just couldn't cut it in the rotation. So are you good with specialists being Hall of Famers?
Yes, because when you talk about specialists, in that particular case, I mean, if you were talking about specialists as a pinch hitter, or maybe even a guy that was a career DH and never played in the field, you know, that's, to me, that's different. Yeah, okay, you're a closer is only pitching an inning or maybe even a couple of hitters a lot of times, but there is usually huge pressure on them every time they come in. It's a different setting than starters face. And the starters have their own things they have to deal with, but I don't have any problem at all with the top relief pitchers getting in the Hall.
Mike Kennedy with us, voice of the Shockers, Wichita State in action Wednesday night at home against Jacksonville State. Back to minor league baseball for just a second. We're getting a Triple-A team here for the 2020 season. It's fun to rehash what the Arrows were and what the Wichita Pilots were and what the Wichita Wranglers were, and even before that, how excited are you about a new ballpark, a new affiliation, and all that brings to a city?
Well, I really kind of am. I always really enjoyed watching the AAA team. Even when I was in college, I used to go out there a lot. The last year or two I was in college when the Arrows first got started as a Cleveland affiliate, and I was, you know, involved with them four different seasons and watched them a lot of other times. I think it's a great level of baseball and a new ballpark and baseball that level in the city, I think, is great. I just hope that people truly do embrace it, and that it works, because I think it's a great thing for the city if it does.
All right, so let's talk about the Shockers. Really not a great performance on Saturday. Cause for alarm, or just one of those ups and down type situations that we're going to see for most of the year?
Well, you know, the thing that stands out to me is with 13 minutes to go, they were still only down 10. I mean, they were in that game for a good deal of the time, and then it just, once it started to go, it really went south. They couldn't hit a shot. I think that got to them a little bit, and it was like they got outscored by 22 or something over the last 13 minutes. But up until that point, it wasn't like you're sitting there going, wow, Oklahoma's just far superior, and they're just kicking their tail up and down. It really wasn't that kind of game until late. And, you know, that's all part of the things that have got to get better, too. You don't want to see a game just totally get away from a team like that. But it's one loss. That's the bottom line. It's one loss, and they're about a quarter of a way into the season, and Oklahoma's a very good team. So I don't think it's cause for alarm now, because you know that Greg Marshall's going to really work on that stuff. But you also have to keep in mind, as we mentioned, that, you know, there's plenty of teams in the American Conference, like Cincinnati and Houston and UCF, that can guard you with similar athletes kind of at that level too. And so it's something they're certainly going to have to learn from and get better at.
Yeah, one of my takeaways, and we're talking with Mike Kennedy, from the early part of the season, and again, it's very early, is that the American might be better than advertised. There's some pretty good-looking teams in the American that maybe we thought would fly a little bit under the radar, Temple being one of the examples, and I think those who undersold Houston are probably sorry they did that as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a good league, and fortunately, the fact that Wichita State was projected eighth, their schedule's not quite as difficult as it could be. They don't go to Orlando to face UCF. They don't go to Philadelphia to face Temple. So that's a plus in their development. But, yeah, it's a very good league, and you know, Shockers are going to have to continue to get better and better if they're going to be, let's say, even in the top half of the league this year.
All right, Mike. Well, we always look forward to your calls at home with Dave Dahl, on the road with Bob Hull, and best of luck to you the rest of this season. Good luck tonight talking to Coach Marshall after a 32-point loss.
Those usually aren't a lot of fun. We'll see what we can do.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate
All right, thank
it.
Thank you.
That's Mike Kennedy talking some minor league baseball and a little Shockers. When we return, we'll talk about the Chiefs. They have won again yesterday in overtime against the Baltimore Ravens, a game they were pushed to the limit in, but their young quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, found a way to get them the win. Kendall Gammon from the Chiefs Radio Network coming up next. This is The Drive on KFA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.